is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced a new rule for school meal standards that promotes the health of America's children. The new rule emphasizes less sugar and sodium in school meals.
It is a rule that continues the emphasis of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act on whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. Sodium level that's established here is very consistent with a congressional directive recently passed in the budget law. And very similar to what the previous administration had in place. This is a rule that does indeed put a significant focus on reduced added sugars. We continue to work with the dairy industry to provide options of flavored and unflavored milk, but with a new limit on added sugar that's been formulated by the industry that obviously will reduce the sugar that's in that flavored milk.
Part of the focus of the rule is to strengthen the relationship between local food producers and consumers.
We're encouraging and authorizing on freeing up schools to continue to look for ways in which they partner with producers and with local and regional food systems so that we create additional market opportunities for farmers and ranchers in the area, but also create a better connection between those who produce the food and those who consume it. We also re-emphasize the importance of Buy America provisions in this rule as well.
Denver, Colorado is facing a ballot initiative this fall that would ban the slaughter of animals within the city and county boundaries. American Sheep Industry Association's Executive Director Peter Orwick says this could have a huge impact on the lamb and sheep industry, as Denver is home to the second largest lamb processing plant in the country.
Colorado has more lamb feedlots where they background lambs, get them to final market weight. And they've got another plant in Brush, Colorado. So you just have lambs that come in from up all over the upper Midwest, from Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Wyoming, funnel into Colorado to work through those feedlots and then ultimately to the slaughter plants. So a shutdown of a plant would have major ramifications on our industry. And
Colorado has seen similar animal rights ballot initiatives in the past, and Orwick is asking for producer support in fighting this initiative.
American Sheep Industry Association, we have about 120 farms, ranches in the sheep business that support our legal funds every year, and those folks have contributed $80,000 towards defeating the referendum. I know the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has already made one contribution. A couple of the state wool grower sheep producer organizations have. And that's what it's going to take is a industry effort, the meat industry, livestock industry, to help fund a campaign and run it correctly to nip this thing in the bud.
16 farm organizations have launched their Enough is Enough tour to voice opposition to the Commodity Research and Promotion Checkoff programs. The first tour stop will be May 11th in Clearwater, Minnesota. After stops in Wisconsin, Kansas, and Alabama, the tour will wrap up June 4th in Bismarck. The groups involved in this coalition include Dakota Resource Council, RCAF USA, and the Organization for Competitive Markets.
Planting progress should advance well today and tomorrow before rains move into the midsection of the country late Thursday and Friday. World Weather Incorporated says the southwestern Corn Belt to central Illinois will be the wettest Thursday into Monday. 1 to 3 inches of rain are expected across a wide section of the Midwest. The northern plains will see its greatest rain chance Friday with up to 1.5 inches of rain possible. World Weather says rain showers will occur most days through Tuesday across the northern plains.
Tractors are rolling across the region as field conditions allow. Westbrett Technical Product Manager Justin Berg expects spring wheat acres to increase.
You know, most of the farmers, once they get in the field, they're going to start making some of them decisions on the fly. You know, just a lot of hesitation with the wheat crop right now as far as how many acres they want to put in. Usually, on average, or however you want to say it, you know, once farmers get rolling, they tend to just want to keep going. and get the crop in the ground, especially if it is going good or for whatever reason they don't. Usually we have a lot of in-season wheat purchase just because farmers do want to just keep going and just keep filling the drill with wheat.
And Berg remains optimistic that spring wheat acres will pick up.
It's a fairly easy product to seed. Don't have to mess around with the planter, you know, all those things. So, you know, I've been hearing a lot from retailers on, you know, a little bit short on shorter than last year on sales. And but I think they're all still have a lot of hope for some in-season sales.
Western Kansas has missed much of the rain this season. Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says the Kansas wheat crop is at a tipping point.
Right on the brink. You know, we're on the edge of it. Was looking really good there during the wintertime, but we desperately need some rain here, if not from this round, then, you know, early next week to save what we've got. And it deteriorates, you know, as you move really from central and keep going west.
Hines says the Oklahoma and Texas wheat crops aren't any better.
Similar, yeah. That line is literally just right in the heart of Kansas all the way down into central Texas. So, you know, but some of that bigger wheat country is the Panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma and into western Kansas. So those are the areas that are desperately needing the rain as well.
In the Wimbledon, North Dakota area, Joe Erickson is waiting just a bit longer before starting to plant corn.
We were hoping to get going this week, but now with this kind of cold spell coming this weekend, we're gonna have to chomp at the bit and sit here. We have a little bit of wheat we're gonna custom plant for someone here or one of our neighbors here today and get that in. But other than that, yeah, I think a lot of the guys are, from what I've heard around the area, they're kind of holding off too for this cold spell this weekend, and then really get it going Monday. I think that's the plan for a lot of guys.
Erickson says soil conditions are good. Find more farm news, visit rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. While final numbers aren't in, Minnesota FFA Executive Director Lavaine Rada says this year's convention was one for the books.
So convention is definitely record-breaking as our membership continues to grow. We wrapped up yesterday with over 6,000 Minnesota FFA members, guests, advisors, and supporters in Mariucci Arena in St. Paul and Minneapolis, and we had an amazing convention full of really celebrating the things that our students and our teachers have done throughout the entire year.
In the last few years, Minnesota's FFA has seen a massive influx of new members and schools. The organization is projecting that to continue.
Currently, we're sitting over 15,000 FFA members, which is more than doubled in the last 5 years and continues to grow as we continue to grow new programs. We've actually added 35 new school districts that have FFA chapters just in the last 5 years. So growth is definitely what is happening in Minnesota agriculture, food, and natural resources education. And we're continuing to grow. If we look at the programs who have positions posted for next year, we could have another 5 FFA chapters joining us just in the next year if they're able to find teachers.
Minnesota FFA runner-up in diversified crop production was Tristan Osmondson of the Fauston FFA chapter. Osmondson says he started farming 3 years ago and credits a lot of his knowledge to his grandfather who helped him to get started.
My proficiency started in 2021. Started renting land for my grandfather, Bennett Osmondson, and kind of took off from there, planting, combining, all the fun stuff. But there's also a lot of business stuff behind that, and, you know, keeping records is a huge thing, and that was a big part of the proficiency was keeping records and, you know, being accurate with that. So, yeah, I learned a lot from my Grandpa Bennett, so I owe a lot to him.
Osmondson says he plans to stay connected to agriculture.
I'm a senior this year, and, you know, I plan to do something in the ag field, so that could be anything from going to school or staying home and working on the farm. You know, everything that I've learned through FFA is going to help me in the future.
The USDA Agribusiness Trade Delegation is in India promoting U.S. agriculture exports. USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs Alexis Taylor says that the mission is going well so far.
One of the things I think we were really excited about to select India as a location for our trade mission is just some of the demographic changes we're seeing that are causing a really rapidly shifting demand for things like increased protein, more variety of products, and high-value food and agricultural products, things that the United States really excel in or can support and complement their existing agricultural sector here in India. We also are seeing rapid development of India's modern retail sector, including e-retail, which is really growing. And I think that presents a great opportunity for a diverse range of U.S. food and agricultural products.
Ag exports to India do not line up with population demographics.
We send around 1% of our food and ag exports to India. That, I think, we way underperform. So I think there is a huge opportunity to grow that. And I think it's really important for our agricultural community and our farmers and ranchers to be investing in this market. 45% of Indians are 24 years old or younger. That's 630 million people. That's huge purchasing power. They have a growing middle class. By 2030, 66 million people in India will be in middle class and upper middle class households. And if we can get in now and develop taste for American food and agricultural products, we can have lifelong consumers.
The Government of Canada's Competition Bureau says the proposed merger of Viterra Limited and Bunge Global is likely to result in substantial anti-competitive effects. The Bureau says the acquisition would likely result in a significant loss of rivalry in Canada's agricultural markets between Viterra and Bunge. The Bureau is concerned with grain purchases in Western Canada, as well as the sale of canola oil in Eastern Canada. The Bureau also says the merger would give Bunge undue advantage to influence the economic behavior of G3 Global Holdings, which is a major competitor to Viterra. Bunge Global is a minority stakeholder in G3 and has access to confidential, competitively sensitive information. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp is seeing some technical trade in a quiet market.
Some of these contracts now working on 4 days up in a row. Corn had three up and found some support last week. That's a general theme of what we're talking about, some technicality type influence here where we're watching the charts. We saw a lack of follow through from the bearish hedge funds that had rebuilt their bearish bets in a big way here these last several weeks. And so there's some short covering here, not a lot of fresh buying interest evident. But lack of fresh news and ultimately some support as we see positions adjusted, squared, ahead of options expiring on Friday, and we'll have first notice day for the May contracts going into delivery next week.
Camp says the live cattle market is backtracking.
They were pricing in a bullish cattle on feed report, the placements estimate sharply lower. Some optimism, though, in that number that we could see fewer cattle on feed in terms of a percentage basis for heifers, and actually maybe some sign that we're starting to hold some back for rebuilding the herd, maybe starting to gain some traction later this year as we've long hoped for there.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis May wheat trading 11.25 cents higher at 677.75. September 10 cents higher at 691.25. Chicago wheat 9.25 higher at 594.25. Kansas City 15.25 higher at 624. May corn futures down 5.5 cents at 437.5. July corn 4.25 lower at 448.25. December corn down 2.75 at 472.25. Soybeans, May futures down 3 cents at 1164.5. August soybeans a penny lower at 1182.75. November soybeans down a half penny at 1173.5. Soybean meal 30 cents a ton higher at 345.60. Canola in Winnipeg down $5.10 a metric ton at 629.30 Canadian. Live cattle, June futures $1.80 lower at 175.35. Feeder cattle, May futures down $1.67. Lean hogs, May futures down a buck. This is the Red River Farm Network.